My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons.
Kill it! Don't just let it go. Kill it.
Welcome to a new episode of the show. This is an exciting episode. For one, I'm recording this in the past, so I'm preparing this episode to be ready and launched on the 27th, which is the first day of the Portland Retro Gaming Expo. I will be in Portland with my wife for the weekend, selling our books. It's also the official release day of 32-Bit Library Volume 4, which we'll be selling in person and having it be available for the first time officially. It'll be live on Amazon today, so if you didn't previously back the Kickstarter, you're newer to the show, you're newer to kind of discovering me, the book is available today, as of this moment, for you to order and buy. You can also get it through RetroGameBooks.com. Brian has actually had a window of time where he was the only place to be able to buy it physically. So he's also going to be at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo and be able to meet him. He's been on the show in the past and a friend of the show, so excited to meet him in person as well. But this week should also have been the week that the new Legend of Zelda title came out for the Switch. So Switch fans, I'm assuming you all are enjoying and deep into the experience. So to tie into that and have a theme of cross promotion and, a connective tissue of some sort, we've got Guy McKenna from the Flashback 64 podcast on this episode. They are here to talk about their least favorite game from their favorite franchise, which, spoiler alert, is going to both be from the Legend of Zelda series. So they're going to choose their game from there. We talk about it on the episode, but this does not mean that they dislike this game, or this question is not looking for people to, like, you know, hate or slander on a game necessarily. This is just, like, your favorite, you know, one of your favorite franchises. You know, what is the game that you find, like, least enjoyable, and kind of like hearing the reasons as to why. Likely it's still a game you enjoy, and for the sake of how we've asked this in the past as well, it's also been games that those folks have enjoyed. So take with that what you will. It's just a cool way to have a conversation about games we love and games we enjoy. So this is essentially Portland Retro Gaming Expo week and Legend of Zelda week, and to kind of match with that, we've got a fun episode for you here. So take a look at the show notes below. You can find details on where to listen to Flashback 64 and the cool things Guy McKenna have been doing. You can find links to my Patreon page where you can find my original writing, which you can kind of follow along for free and participate in. Comment, take a look at some behind-the-scenes stuff, help share thoughts on how I can shape my next books and projects and things that I'm working on, all for free, like I said. There's a paid tier you can join if you want a bonus podcast called Single Player, which is available for folks there. Everything else, show notes, take a look there, links, fun, all that stuff. We'll have a good weekend, hopefully, and we'll see you next week with another new episode. But for now, enjoy this one. Goodbye. Welcome back to the show, Guy and McKenna from the Flashback 64 side of town. Thanks for coming back on and doing another episode with me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having us. It's good to be here.
Since the last time we recorded, I want to say maybe my podcast had something to do with bringing you two together, but you are now officially married, right? Since the last time that we spoke. So, I mean, I don't know, really, there's no reason for you all to define and give credit to where it happened, but the two of you appeared on my podcast, not married, and now you are married. And yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I think when it was done, we turned to each other and we said, let's go do it right now. Let's not wait. Let's get taken care of.
The power of the podcast. I mean, really, what can you do?
Well, thank you for bringing us together.
all credit. So since the last time we talked, obviously that's happened, but on the Flashback 64 side of the world, do y'all want to maybe just like share an update, you know, obviously plug your cast again a little bit, or, you know, share what y'all have been lately doing with your own show?
Sure. I mean, we've still been going strong monthly covering N64 games, and then in the weeks in between covering, you know, extended things from the games. You know, for example, I mean, we had you on, we were talking about the multiplayer in GoldenEye. We've gone all over the map. We do episodes where we read the game manuals, stuff like that. We talk about TV shows and movies from the time period of the N64 over on Flashback 64. But McKenna, is there something we've been doing lately in particular you think we should shout out?
I don't know. I think we've been like weekly for the most part since GoldenEye, basically.
Yeah. Since our 1 year anniversary of the show back in May.
Fun episodes.
And we've also been kind of doing a lot of like we have a Patreon, patreon.com/flashback64, where, you know, we've also been doing for our $5 pledged patrons, we do like bonus episodes and stuff. So we get into even more, you know, movies we've watched. It could be even from the time, or even just like if we went to the movies and did something cool. We also have been ranking, like going, you know, back to the games we're covering and like giving them a little score over on our Patreon. So check that out.
Yeah, that's cool. I am a patronaire.
Yes,
I don't know what the word is. That you had like an Aliens Romulus episode that I chose not to listen to because I have not seen the movie yet, but I really want to.
That's
and then I'll
fair,
go back
fair.
And listen.
Yeah.
But then you also, I think you give the episodes out early for Patreon backers, right? No?
Is yeah. That- mm-hmm. Yep. You get it just usually it'd be like a day or two early. Yeah, you only have to pledge $1 for that. So,
oh, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
That tier is cool for people who, you know, if you don't have a lot to give, you know, you can pitch us a buck and we'll, you know, we like to give you a little extra, a little early episode. Yeah. We appreciate it. We appreciate there's even people who've subbed for free, even though we don't offer much. And we appreciate that too. So thank you so much to everyone who has.
Yeah, I have I think I've been listening to primarily the Patreon feed now, like the Super Mario Brothers 2 episode, then the Madden 64 episode, and then the bonus stuff that's all on there. So I think it's worth it.
Ooh.
I mean, it's just fun to, like, obviously I'm biased towards like retro gaming and like old nostalgic video game stuff. So it's just more stuff to fill up the feed and fill up my drive to work, and it's entertaining. So I highly recommend it to anyone else who has not checked them out yet. Please do so. I'll have the links to their Patreon and their podcast and everything in the show notes so y'all can see that stuff. But yeah, we will jump into the icebreaker then. And I was just cooking up some newer icebreaker questions, so you'll be the trial run for these.
Oh, boy. That's good, because McKenna has been nervous about the icebreaker, and now that it's one that we couldn't have possibly heard listening to the show, it adds even more risk to the game.
So do you want... So I'll give you a choice. I won't tell you them yet, but do you want one that will maybe make you think and potentially stump you, or one that might be just... Actually, I think they're both will kind of, you know what? Yeah, I think they're both going to do it. Let's just ask, what main character have you ever disliked the most?
Ooh.
Like in a video game where you just don't care for the main character after playing the game. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, you're playing Croc and you just don't care for this crocodile mascot platformer guy because he's uninspired. Or it could just be, you know, something different from like a beat 'em up, and you don't think that the mayor of Metro City should take to the streets and beat up a gang to save his daughter.
Right.
But yeah, is there a main character that you've disliked, or who's the main character you've disliked the most in a game? Maybe even so much that turned you off from playing the game, if bonus points.
All right, I'm going to start with Mario. Did something come to mind for you, or do you want me to?
I have one that came to mind where it was a character I liked at first, and then by the end of the game, I was pretty upset with them.
I want to hear that. What is that then?
Ellie from The Last of Us Part 2. By the end of the game, I was not happy with her.
Yeah.
Just like the entire last section, I was like, why are you doing this? You shouldn't be doing this. This is not good.
But to be clear, you enjoyed that aspect of the game, right? Like, because there was like kind of a backlash, right, against the game, because they're like, there was discourse, I remember.
Yeah, they did a discourse over like just the other character and like what happens to you know the beginning of the game and like
a lot of people didn't like that you had to play it as Abby, but I loved that Abby part of the game.
Yeah, I loved Abby.
Yeah,
I think that was probably my favorite part.
That's the whole, I think, point of the story. Like this, you know, violence doesn't solve violence, and just because you're attached to this group of characters doesn't mean that what they do is right versus what everyone else is doing is being wrong. And so getting that perspective of Abby, you're just like, every chapter you play, you learn like, no, like this stuff sucks for them too. And like, oh, I can see why they are wanting to do what they're doing. And oh, this is the equivalent of what happened to them is what is happening to Ellie and Joel and that group. And so, it was just great, you know, that violence doesn't solve violence, and you have to like break the cycle and think about, you know, the consequences of what you're doing. And yeah, that whole last chapter where, you know, Ellie just basically like, you know, walks away from a relationship, walks away from safety and health and everything just to try and, you know, like satisfy her revenge that ultimately isn't. And then like, ugh, that ending where you get to like play the guitar again and then like you strum that chord and it doesn't sound right because she's missing a finger entirely too. Like, it's like she, like what hasn't she lost at that point? And it's just sad, but great storytelling. And it was a super sad and awesome like storyline, dark and depressing, but a very exciting game.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
That is a good answer. Yeah, especially one because you start like, yeah, how do you not love Ellie, especially from the first game and everything? Then for them to like, hey, here's a character you love. Now let's make you like you question everything about this and like have like a very hung head and disappointment with what she has done. Cool. Well, what about you, Boo? What do you got?
I was trying to think because I can imagine that situation having occurred, like where I'm like, I can't even take this character anymore. I don't want to hear them speak, but I'm having a hard time thinking of like one that was that grating. So my mind went to more of like I guess a lot of characters where it's like it's not that I hated them. It was more that they were very bland to me and left almost no impact. And so the first thing that kind of came to my mind was the main dude in the first Watch Dogs game.
Oh, I played Watch Dogs. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. He kind of like, I can't even remember what happens in the game necessarily, other than it was like, you know, it's like I remember the game. And I remember like, he was just like a white dude with a baseball cap on and a hoodie or like a jacket or something. Mm-hmm. And like, I just remember thinking like, who is this? Who like, I don't know. I don't care about this.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that works. It's like a main character, not necessarily disliked, but like a main character that you've just, it's just uninspired or uninspiring to you to like continue to like learn or dig in deep with their story or their plot and everything. It's just, it's tough when you don't have an attachment.
Yeah, and on a similar note, one thing that I know some people kind of like this sort of lore and story and stuff, but what comes to my mind also is the like modern day protagonists and stuff they have in like the Assassin's Creed games, like Desmond Miles or like whoever the new person is in the new games. Like, I'm like, I don't care about you at all. Like, let me get back in the Animus now, please.
Interesting.
I've beefed with that aspect of it, but I get the sci-fi concept and stuff, but I just want to be in the ancient times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, I always thought that was... I've only played the original Assassin's Creed. I did not play 2 or any of the continued evolution of that series and stuff, but, like, that idea where, you know, there was, like, this modern or futuristic kind of setting where you were, like digging into the past, I was like, oh, man, this is really rad. I bet they could do a lot of really cool things with this. But from what it seems like, they haven't really done, like, anything that builds upon excitement there. And it is exactly that. People just want to be in like a time or a place that makes the game unique in like open world and stuff, not like this like kind of half-baked idea they have in the background that doesn't sound like they've really fully fleshed it out or done much with. But again, I don't know. I only have experience with this, that original game, and I don't even know that I finished it. But yeah.
I think my problem too was that I got more into the series. Like I played some of the earlier games, but I think I really got hooked on Black Flag was the one I liked a lot because you're sailing around and stuff like that. And by then, like, you know, I'd played 3 and like I think that was one I played a lot too, but it was like coming at the end of like the modern day storyline. And so to me, when I played those games, the more like whole storylines in those games were the ones that were being introduced in that game, and not like, you know, I'm not like at the end of this guy's trilogy or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So what can you do?
Yeah.
I don't hate him, but you know,
I like both those answers. I think those both kind of fit. I think maybe I can change it from main character to just, you know, what's a character you have disliked the most. Like it's an important or a pivotal character. Ooh. Potentially. Because then we could all say Navi from Legend of Zelda.
I actually, you know, I could go on, but I like Navi. But there are some Zelda characters. Maybe they'll come up today. I don't know. There are some that do great on me for sure.
They're gonna come up. I think, because the question we'll segue there. That's a smooth yes. smooth transition. We're gonna answer for the main topic of the episode. We've done this before, and I'm glad we get to come back to it because I don't know how often like people would be excited to answer this. So I'm glad you chose this one. But what is your least favorite game in your favorite franchise? So again, it doesn't have to be maybe your absolute most favorite, but a franchise that you love. What is your least favorite game in that? So yeah, let's just get into that. Do y'all have a franchise in mind that you are going to kind of pull from? I'm assuming Legend of Zelda for you, based on that.
Yeah. Both of us.
Both of us. Yeah. So that's the other. That's actually, if you want to give the real reason to why we met and got together, is because we both also contribute stuff to the ZeldaDungeon.net fan site. We both do videos and other. We met at the marathon live stream we do. So we both are like, what's like? We were both like diehard Legend of Zelda fans. Like that's our gaming bread and butter, I would say. So it's going to be both from both of us, I would assume.
Okay. I assume you spoke a little bit about it, but do you have the same game that you think is your least favorite, or is that going to be some of the discussion?
Not at all.
Ooh, that's cool. Okay. Well then I'll let you all you'll have to fight over who answers first and start the conversation, but yeah, let's see. I'd like to hear.
You can go first, right? Because you were, you seem very conflicted.
Well, I said I basically have an answer, but it's hard. It's hard because because it's my least favorite doesn't mean that I don't like it. Because I think all of the games in the series are great.
Yeah, we're such like diehard fans. We love like every game. I think
we're both excluding like the Hyrule Warriors.
Oh sure, yeah, and
I would exclude the CDI games for sure. Hyrule Warriors, I actually like the Dynasty Warriors games, so I thought those were kind of cool. But just to preface and underline, just by saying this is your least favorite game in the franchise, absolutely, like you could still like 100% love it. Like my a friend and I do a different podcast that's we're kind of behind on kind of keeping up with, but Complete Discography, where we like break down albums of like bands and stuff. and go through their entire catalog. But like, it's the same thing. We break down and we'll say like a song's our least favorite song on an album, but we have to like feel guilty and be like, just because I'm saying this is my least favorite doesn't mean I don't like it though, because like this is still one of my favorite bands. And like, yeah, like 100% this should be and like, of course, like all framed around the fact that like you most likely enjoy and love all of these things. This is just, you know, the one that for whatever reason stands out to you as maybe the one you don't go back and play as much or didn't find as much joy that first playthrough. And so it's been, you know, not one you've been interested in diving back into. But yeah, 100%. You can absolutely love it and still have it be your least favorite.
Is that how you feel?
I mean, what are you gonna say? Yeah, well, I'm going to say Adventure of Link. And that's mostly because it is oftentimes a very unforgiving game.
Mm.
I think it sets up a lot of cool things in the series, especially it has towns. It has multiple towns that you go to and talk to people. But there are certain things. I remember the first time I played the game, I didn't have a manual or anything, and I could not even get to a town. I just kept dying in the overworld. So that was on my 3DS, so I didn't get back to it until it came out on the NSO. And I could use Rewind. Because
mm.
I don't think I can beat the game without Rewind.
Yeah,
there's
for sure.
just a
yeah,
certain,
that's fair.
You know, in most of the game, except for in the last dungeon, if you die, you go back to the beginning of the game. So you have to, like, trek back to all these places and... You know, sometimes a lot of times I'm dying on the way there. Mm-hmm. And then there are certain rooms in dungeons. I think the toughest ones are probably the rooms where you're jumping across platforms where there's lava in the at the bottom, and you have like these flying heads coming at you that you have to avoid. And most of the time, if you get hit by the head, it bumps you into the lava, and dropping into the lava is just an instant death.
Mm.
And it is not easy to go across. So without Rewind, I don't know how I would get past that.
Right. It's not even necessarily like that specific room. Like if you got to go back to the beginning of the room too, it would be less like,
yeah,
frustrating. You know,
I mean, yeah,
like
I think it'd be more like along the lines of something like Celeste, where it's really tough, but you spawn at the beginning of the room, so you just get to do it again right away.
Which is more common with like every other Zelda game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a balance of like a skill test versus like a patience test, because sending you back all the way like out of the dungeon or outside of the, like to the starting point, like it's just like, I've proven I can do these things. It's just not necessarily a back to back to back. So like, why punish me that extreme, you know, just for like this skill test? It's a brutal design for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what it's like a top 10. For me, that game, like I really like it, but it would be even higher if just minor things like you said, respawning at the beginning of dungeons when you game over would be totally fine. Like I do think there is some type of balance between like the risk, you know, like Twilight Princess, for example, it takes it in totally opposite direction, which you die and you just come back in the same room. And it's like, it feels like there's no
meaning,
no stakes. Yeah. It's a weird balance to find, but I feel like for me, it would be close to the top five, maybe if you respawned in the dungeons and maybe the, like that,
I guess like the experience
so
points. Do you lose all?
If you game over, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Which I'm okay. I'm fine with that.
It's it's very Souls-ish. Souls-like.
Not Souls-like.
Yeah, every game is a Souls-like
kind of
game.
I do like a lot of the things it has going in the game. It's the, you know, RPG aspects are kind of fun. I like all the spells, which I like to say are the inspiration for the abilities in Breath of the Wild.
Sure, yeah.
It's cool, other than the fact that it's really unforgiving, I think.
Yeah, I remember enjoying that game when I finally like played it. I had access to it on the NES. Like I grew up and I did play the original Legend of Zelda, and I had, you know, access to Zelda 2, and it was always like brutal, and I just didn't quite spend as much time with that as I did the original. But when I got that was when there was a Legend of Zelda collector's disc for the GameCube that had, yeah, it had Zelda 1, 2, was it 64, and I think it was 4 games total. So what was the other game?
Majora's Mask was also on
Majora's
there.
Mask was also, okay, the, yeah. Then there was a separate GameCube disc that had the Master Quest and 64, or Ocarina of Time, yeah. But I had that, you know, the little shiny foil cover, and there was the Nintendo, like, power, like, player guide that had, like, a really shiny foil, like strategy guide for it. And I remember, like, specifically sitting down, like, using the guide and, like, really being, like, diligent to, like learn and, like, master the mechanics and know where I'm going and just try and play it smart. And I don't think I beat it, but I definitely got, like, really far into the game, like, significantly far. I think I maybe was just to the point where, like, yeah, once you did die... in that last dungeon, you were sent back to the beginning. I was like, okay, cool. Well, at least I'm like here. So if I ever like, you know, once I build up the steam to try this again, I'll be ready. And I don't think I ever went back necessarily, but yeah, I did enjoy it ultimately. Then I definitely think it's a solid game for sure. It's just it's just cool to see Nintendo like just try different things, and while they do definitely pivot back more towards the original Zelda from like inspiration standpoint for like the next games in the series, there's still elements of two that like show up in the games that like it's not just a forgotten game. Like it is a different game for them, but it's not a forgotten game for sure.
I mean, we would both like to see that style of game happen again in the Zelda series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to see what they would do with that now.
Yeah, especially with so many games that seem to take some inspiration from it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you had the Link's Awakening remake, and then now you're having like a somewhat sequel to that coming out like this month, or is it next month? It's coming up soon.
It's this month, yeah.
Yeah.
Just about a week and a half.
Yeah, so they're taking like, you know, a game that they remade and then that had like its own kind of unique design to it and are now kind of producing a sequel somewhat inspired by that remake's design of the original game. So I could see them remaking or like kind of reimagining too, and then like having that being like this continued what if series, you know, type of thing, which will be, you know, neat to see, even if it was like a downloadable game or like a smaller scale game. You know, they don't have to have everything be like a massive scope necessarily, but it would just be fun to kind of have them revisit it, even for like an anniversary of some kind.
They've been like letting other studios do like spin-off style games, you know, like they did the Crypt of the Necrodancer sort of spin-off, and they've done Hyrule Warriors. So I'm wondering too, if like maybe they could even just be like, find someone who's done something similar and be like, hey, make like a side scrolly Zelda game that could be like a spinoff. Like, I think that'd be cool too.
Yeah, that's true. That's basically what all they would need to do for that. That'd be cool.
Please.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, so Zelda 2, Adventures of Link is yours.
Yeah.
It's funny to hear you say though it would potentially be the top five for you, go like in if it was just for a few things, you know?
Yeah.
I'm curious to know, what are the games getting the shade to that you're saying it's better than, you know? I'm just curious to know, but that's okay. That's a question for a different day, I guess. What is your least favorite game in the Zelda franchise?
Mine, I think a lot of people would probably say what McKenna said. And I think mine, you could probably find a decent amount of people would say this too, which is Spirit Tracks. And I want to say it's not because the DS style controls. I'm actually It's not my favorite, but I quite like Phantom Hourglass, the game. Like, I think it was really clever in the way it took all the features, actually, like the simple feature of like touching the game screen with the stylus to make Zelda items and puzzles and stuff like that. Even if there's other things about it that aren't my favorite, but with Spirit Tracks, I felt a little bit like there was not much more they could do with it. And what they chose to sort of like really make a big feature is the blowing into the mic. And I'm not just talking, again, people talk about the spirit flute, the playable pan flute in the game, but that is not my only issue. It's in the first proper dungeon of the game, you get this pinwheel gun thing. And the way you fire it is by pointing it and then blowing into the microphone. And I just found this isn't the only reason I dislike the game, but I just found it so obnoxious. Like, I really felt like I wish I had a button to just do this instead. Which people say about other things in the game, but I quite enjoy that. But that was a bridge too far for me. Like, the blowing and yelling into the mic was like a cute little thing you did a couple times in Phantom Hourglass, but that just drove me crazy. I really dislike it.
That's funny. Yeah. I'm sure you probably know from being big Zelda fans, but the original like Famicom version of Legend of Zelda had, like they had a microphone on that controller, and like those poles voice enemies you would like kill by like, making a sound into the microphone and everything. So I'm assuming that's, kind of a tie back to that, like, Nintendo, slapping a microphone on it again. They're like, hey, let's use this. And like, Zelda, here you are. Let's integrate you into our game. This will be fun. That was the game that you could like draw on the map and everything, right? Like, you could like, you have like the bottom screen where you could make annotations and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In both the DS games, you could do that. And I thought in both of that was cool. Like, that's a cool feature. Like, there's a lot of puzzles that involve, it's really just you write things down, but there would be clever times where, you'd have to still figure a puzzle out from it. So
remember a path or the order of things.
Yeah. There's a lot of fun stuff with the writing on the map.
Yeah, I don't mean to insult the Phantom Hourglass here, but I completely forgot about it until you mentioned it. I thought the Spirit Tracks was the Wind Waker follow up on the DS, and that was the game. But now looking at it, I Googled it really quickly, and of course I remember this now. But seeing it happen, and an angry child just stormed in here and slammed the door. That's going to stay in the episode. But Phantom Hourglass, I forgot that there was two. But so Phantom Hourglass was the first one. That was the initial kind of, it's a follow-up to Wind Waker, right? It's the same link and same and world as Wind Waker, or no? Yes? Okay.
Yes. Well,
Phantom Hourglass is,
and they go off after Wind Waker to, like, they want to settle a new Hyrule. They want to find a new Hyrule. But then they get sucked into this, like, kind of alternate world. And it's still sort of like in a similar way to like Link's Awakening or Majora's Mask, you're kind of like, you're not in Hyrule, you're just like exploring some other land. And then Spirit Tracks, though, is also, it's like a sequel, but it's like set like whatever hundreds of years later after they've like refounded Hyrule, and you're like the descendants of Link and Zelda, I guess you could say.
I didn't realize there was an alternate world aspect to it. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and so a lot of people like Spirit Tracks more, I think, because one, it has just aesthetically, it's a little bit nicer, has more of a unique style to it. That's the game with the train, and people kind of like that, and it has a great soundtrack. Mm-hmm. People like, I will say that it's just like cooler from that standpoint, and it has a more, it does have a more interesting, I guess, story, you could say. But then there, it does have its detractors, and I'm kind of down on this too, in that the way you navigate the world is it's via train tracks, and there's like every time you want to go somewhere, it's sort of like a mini game to like avoid the enemy trains and drawing the right path and changing your direction. And there's some fun stuff with that, but I even do find sometimes I'm like, I just want to go to where I'm going. Mm-hmm. And so at times I prefer on Phantom Hourglass, you just kind of draw a path where you want your boat to go when it goes. And it's like, okay, cool. It's not very fun, like getting from point A to point B. It's like not
there's
very engaging.
Still, like, enemies out there.
But sometimes I'm like, I just don't think I like the train game as much.
Yeah. When I played that, I remember, you know, people say sometimes in Phantom Hourglass, they draw the path and it doesn't quite work as they wanted it to. So I think, you know, people say, oh, they improved those in Spirit Tracks. And I'm like, they didn't really improve them. They just limited where you can draw your path.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's not like getting messed up.
Can we pause for 1 second? I was literally letting my kids be okay, but now my wife just moved a fan and a scorpion is now on our bedroom floor right now. So we'll have to step away for 1 second just to eliminate the scorpion.
Eliminate? Oh man, a boss fight.
It's Arizona. It's not so scary. Obviously in other states, maybe people freak out about it, but yeah, give me 1 second.
Sure.
I'm going to have to get creative and edit this back in, but we were, you were sharing something specific, McKenna, on Spirit Tracks. So we can try and navigate and find a way to cleverly get back in there.
You're talking about drawing.
I think
on the map.
Finished up.
You finished.
My thought. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I can, there's one other point I wanted to hit on too.
Yes.
Okay. So there's one other reason I think people really think of this as a big improvement is that in Phantom Hourglass, there was a dungeon called Temple of the Ocean King that is kind of divisive because it's a dungeon you return to. And while you're in there, you only have a limited amount of time you can be in the dungeon. And as you come back with the items you've gained, you're able to get through certain parts quicker or just get to parts you couldn't reach at all before. And it has, I actually really like this. I feel like it gives it sort of a like speed run element. When you come back, you're like, okay, how do I do this quicker? Cause you want to save, you have like an hourglass, a phantom hourglass that you're losing. You have limited sand. You keep the sand, but every time you come back, it resets. And you can upgrade that too. But anyway, I really like that. And like people were not as into it because, you know, you're backtracking through the same area. They didn't, you know, some people don't like that. That's just how it is. But in Spirit Tracks, they have a dungeon called the Tower of Spirits that you return to. But just each time you return, you just go to a new level and it's its own bespoke, you know, little puzzle mini dungeon you do. And they're fun and all. In fact, very challenging. There's some that are very challenging when you get further on in the game. But I felt like it defeats the purpose of like this dungeon you return to. I thought it was very cool in Phantom Hourglass that you come back and it would be the same thing but different and you can get farther. And in fact there's a part where you get to a certain point and you can keep going, but you don't have to yet. And I sort of like that, like options there. Whereas I felt like Spirit Tracks, it was like similar to the Rails, what you were saying, McKenna, where it's like, I feel like they took the things people didn't like and like they kind of just like put up little safeguards to like, you know, make it not as like bad for them, but I feel like then it also just makes it, it's like you should have just done something different then maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a Tower of Spirits preference?
I do like the returning to levels in Phantom Hourglass and being able to get through them quicker because you have new items that have opened up new paths. It reminds me of like other Zelda games, returning to the overworld after a dungeon and returning to areas you visited, and now you can get to new areas from there.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like Zelda.
Very true. Yeah,
using her to possess the phantoms. I think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that the actual puzzles within are actually quite fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I do enjoy that. But yeah, and I don't know. It's less of like, it's a lot of like things here and there. Like every bit of it just has like one thing that I'm like kind of down on, and so it. This is the closest I'll come to like thinking a main like Zelda game is like bad, because I've only beaten it twice, I think. And both times it was like, I was like ready to be done when I was done, which I think says a lot about a Zelda mm-hmm. game. So I don't really like to say like, I'm not trashing it, and I don't, you know, I don't want to offend or anyone in our Zelda community, but it is one that for me, it just, it's, I can't change that when I was done with it, I was like, all right, let's move on. Let's go to something else, please.
It's a game so bad you don't anticipate wanting to beat it a third time.
I know I will have to eventually with the stuff I do.
Oh, yeah.
In Zelda.
All your Dungeon Dive series.
Yeah, I've been playing through all the dungeons in Zelda, like chronologically, of course. For years now, and some games are easier to get through than others in terms of like my patience or what I want to commit to it. And I think that's going to be one of those games that I'm like, I'm going to really have to take my time with it to not like, you know, get burnt out.
Hmm. Well, cool. Those are obviously two explained and elaborate reasons, as to why they're your least favorites, but, and also, we can clearly hear, you know, why the series itself is some of your favorite series of all time as well. So that's cool. That's the whole point of the question. So that's why I wanted to ask it and do that. It's also curious to know the so far of the people I've asked this question to. Now, if we include you too, three of the four times this question has been asked, Legend of Zelda has been the series that people have chose to answer in this scenario. So I think it's kind of funny, the draw that Legend of Zelda has to people.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I feel like it's one where like people can get really, because there's such diversity, you know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
if you're like, what's your least favorite Assassin's Creed game? I don't mean to diss the series. You know what I mean? It feels a little less like, I mean, there are ones where people are really dogged on, but it's, I feel like it's less, you know, you don't have people who are like, I don't like 2D this game, because they've only made a few. Whereas in Zelda, there's 2D games, there's, you know, side scroller, there's all types of different types of games. And now we're seeing with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, like it's a whole new style of game.
Mm-hmm.
So there's fans from different, you know, decades and type styles, and it's all over the place.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I think that'll do it then. I need to make sure I get a episode image ready. I need to find a scorpion-themed Zelda enemy that I'll use for the image header. I also may have, obviously, I'll edit out the scorpion hunt that happened in the middle of this episode, but that'll just be a secret Easter egg for all of us who were present during the adventure.
There was an element of danger.
You can't get that on any old podcast.
Can I plug something else? I want to plug, because you mentioned the collector's edition. That's the first way I beat Zelda 2. And McKenna and I were earlier in the summer on the podcast of our friend Ryan from Standard Issue Gaming. He had a summer series of podcasts called Homesick at Space World, which was a GameCube themed podcast, and we were on there talking about the collector's edition of The Legend of Zelda for GameCube. So go check that out.
I will search up the link for that, and I will include that in the notes as well too. Then might as well. Cool. Well, yeah, if you all have anything else, last minute things to share or say here, if not, we will go ahead and wrap the episode.
No, thank you for having us on.
Yeah, thanks.
There's a scorpion in Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
If you're looking for
perfect,
just to help you with your search. Yeah.
Perfect. I will search for that, and we will consider the episode complete there. Appreciate you all. Go listen to, subscribe, like, follow, rate, review, all that jazz. Flashback 64 and Gui McKenna, thank you so much for being on the episode. We'll definitely have you on again in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.